Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. You no more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phone's there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. A couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off an amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
All right, let's get on with the show.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions including UFC, Bellator, Brave and Cage Warriors with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at @feel_supreme. Or their website, www.feelsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you.
Hello, and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me, as ever, my co-host, Blake Harrison. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's the sun is shining today, and the dust is starting to settle on UFC 267, but the action is just around the corner, 268, within a matter of days.
Within a matter of days. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
For them to have done two numbered events.
Did you just do a little burp then?
I did do a little burp. Did you actually hear it, or did you just see me coming out?
I got my headphones on. No, I just got a little rumble in my ears.
Sorry to everyone that's listening that just heard a little rumble. It's not an earthquake. It's Blake's gastral system. Gastral? I don't know. That's not a word, is it?
I like it.
Gastral. That's what we call it. That's amazing, isn't it? Like, 1 week after another, two huge numbered events for the UFC. That's really exciting stuff. And as you say, we've got our post-267 episode is out. If you haven't listened to that already, you might want to quickly have a listen to that. And we discussed everything from Glover's fairy tale to the dominance of Amzat Chimaev and Makhachev and There's
and Kiselev.
And oh fuck me, Kiselev the ref. Jesus Christ. Let's hope there's nothing like that coming up anytime soon. Mm. But yeah, Lerone Murphy's knee, all of that. We chat about all of it. But today is all about UFC 268, Usman versus Covington 2. Oh, this is a great card as well. It's a great card. I'm really excited about it. It's happening at Madison Square Garden. I'm not sure exactly what time of day it's on in the UK because obviously it's New York, not Vegas. And there's time difference there. New York. Not Vegas, so it's slightly different.
You can tell you're an actor. Your accent was way better than mine then.
Well, to be fair, it fucking should be. I mean, I've been to drama school for like 3 years and shit.
It's your job, isn't it?
It's my fucking job, mate, yeah. But yeah, so, Usman Covington 2. I think you're looking up times now of when it might be on. I don't know. I just saw you clicking on stuff on your computer.
I can't see it. I was,
but,
yeah.
But I think it might be slightly earlier than the usual, like, 3 a.m. main card, but who knows. But should we start at the top? Should we start at the main event? Mm. What are your thoughts on, firstly, do you think this is the right fight for the welterweight division? And secondly, how do you think the fight's going to go?
I'm happy with this fight. I have no issue with it. I do think there's other people in that division that I don't know. Are you?
Way to sit on the fence, there, Stu. Way to sit on the fence, mate.
I'm not. I'm happy with this fight. And how do I see it going? I imagine it's not going to be a lot different from the last fight. I think he's going to be quite a grueling match, and I think as much as he's a douche, Colby's really good, really, really good, and I think he obviously contested the stoppage last time, and so you know, and what we do get, as we touched on in the post 267, is we're going to get some. I imagine some fireworks and some grade A chat in the media days leading up to this.
I think grade A is a stretch. I don't think either of them are great at the trash talk. I think they like to talk a lot, particularly Colby, but I don't think it's like he's not coming out with zingers.
I think he's realised, obviously, a long time ago that people don't necessarily like him, so he's going to play the bad guy, and he's really good at it. He's really good at it, because I think if I look at the whole of the UFC roster, there's no one I'd like to see punch square in the face more than Colby Covington.
And, famously been described by Stu Whiffen as a melt.
I mean if you looked up melt, and there was like, if you Google melt and images, I'm sure on the first page there'd be a picture of Colby Covington, definitely. Big fan of Usman. He's just got better and better and better. I'd love to see him stop him again, but I think this one might go the distance. I think the last one looked like it was going to go the distance. The stoppage, I kind of agreed with it at the time, but I don't know. In hindsight, maybe I just wanted that stoppage because he's such a melt. everything aside, it has every ingredient to be an absolute belter of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth with it, to be honest. People that have heard me talk about this fight previously on this podcast, I've said, I don't think Colby has earned the rematch, and I'll stand by that. Leon Edwards has been putting together win after win after win after win. Mm. Colby was beaten by Usman, like 2 years ago or whatever the hell it was. Since then has fought Tyron Woodley, and we've all seen what's happened to Tyron Woodley. Mm-hmm. And now he's getting a title shot. That's all he's done. All he's done is beaten Tyron Woodley. Like, who hasn't beaten Tyron Woodley since, you know, the Usman fight? I know that's a stupid statement if you take it literally, but my point being, Leon Edwards was supposed to fight Woodley in March of 2020, but the pandemic got in the way of that. Do we really look back on that now, seeing what's happened to Tyron Woodley against Burns, against Colby, against Jake Paul, against Luque? Do we really think Leon wouldn't have absolutely pieced him up in that fight? Of course he would have done. So I don't see how a win against Tyron Woodley does enough for you to get a title shot again. It's only because of, well, it's two reasons. One, because of the chat that he does and the fact that he is a draw because people don't like him, which, you know, I don't like that being given any sort of reward. However, what I would say is I rewatched the fight last night, the first fight. It really is a great fight. It really is a great fight. And I think Dana White thinks of it, rightfully so, as a really fantastic fight. And that is part of the reason why the rematch is happening. And watching the first fight last night did make me go, yeah, I can sort of see why they've given him the shot. I still think Leon deserves it more. 100%,
of course he does. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But as a fight fan, and a casual fight fan, that you might be getting together with your pals to put a few quid in the pot and get the pay-per-view, I think it's way more salacious seeing Usman Colby than Usman Leon Edwards. I want to see Usman Leon Edwards. Of course we do. Because he's earned that shot. He's a Brit. And he's a fucking badass. But all of the hype around the hatred between Usman and Covington, you know, I mean, we're going to get that kind of a touch of that with, obviously, the Masvidal-Edwards fight, because there's beef there, and maybe they're thinking we can market that maybe more than we could have marketed Leon Edwards-Usman. And, yeah, unfortunately, these things do play a part in the a lot of the matchups for UFC at that high level. I think, you know, they are fundamentally a business and they've got to make the fights sell themselves. And I think Colby Usman too, you know, and as you said, you've rewatched the fight. I haven't rewatched it, but I know when it was on, I remember thinking this is a cracker. And and I expect the same fireworks this weekend.
Well, I'm going to go against that slightly and say my opinion is that this is nowhere near as close as the first fight was. Like, firstly, credit to Colby, because he got his jaw broke in that third round and he kept going for another basically two rounds. He was finished with like a minute to go in the fifth. That's some toughness there. That really is something special. But the big things to have changed since that, we've seen Colby fight Tyron Woodley in the same way that he fought a lot of people other than Usman, because with Usman and Colby, their wrestling is both at such a high standard that neither of them even really shot for a takedown that whole first fight. Maybe that will change in this because they're like, oh, well, that's how the first fight went. Let me try something a bit different. But I think, why waste your energy? The other guy's so good at wrestling and probably avoiding takedowns and all that stuff. Why bother with the wrestling? It just wastes energy. So it's going to be a striking battle again. We've seen Colby wrestle Woodley to the ground and smother him with the cardio and all that kind of stuff and get the win. Same old Colby Covington. What we've seen since that first fight from Kamaru Usman is he's changed camps. He's gone from Henry Hooft at Sanford MMA over to Trevor Whitman, who exclusively trains just like Gaethje and Rose Namajunas, both of which have very, very good striking. And what we've seen from Usman is first fight against Masvidal on like 6 days' notice or whatever, where it was a very boring fight. There was all the foot stomps and all that stuff. But then he goes out there and beats Gilbert Burns with his striking. Then he rematches Masvidal and cleans Masvidal's clock with a huge right hand. One of the best knockouts of the year, probably.
It's brutal.
It was a brutal knockout. He beat Masvidal with his striking, which he has been learning more under Trevor Whitman. And I think we're going to see the same Colby Covington as the first fight taking on a superior Kamaru Usman. And I think Usman gets this done in three rounds by knockout. That's my prediction.
Big talk from Harrison.
Big talk. I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm not doing a whiffing. I'm not sitting on the fence, mate. I reckon Usman takes Colby out within three rounds. I really think his striking has improved. I think we've seen evidence of it. Look, maybe Colby has been off training for the last year or whatever since the Woodley fight and has been training with kickboxers and Muay Thai guys and really improving his stand-up. But we as fans have seen zero evidence of this. Zero evidence.
Usman, on the other hand, we've seen the evidence of it against Masvidal, against Gilbert Burns. Yeah, I just think the evidence is there that Usman gets this done in better fashion than what he did the first fight. I might be wrong, but that's what I
see. I hope you're not.
Yeah.
I hope you're not. There's nothing I'd like to see more than that. Have we got anything else we want to discuss on the main, or should we head on to the co-main?
To be fair, the co-main and then the fight after that are the ones I've got the most notes on that I'm like the even more excited about, because we've been leading up to Usman Covington 2 for a long time, and my theory has been since the move to Trevor Whitman, Usman's striking's improved. Colby's, we haven't seen any evidence of his striking improved. I think the wrestling will cancel each other out, so it's another striking battle. It'll be a fun fight. It'll be a good fight. But I just think Usman's a step above where he was, and I think Colby's the same, and that's where this fight will be won, is on the feet by Usman in better fashion than the first fight. That's what I think, anyway.
Co-main event.
Oh, yeah.
We all love Rose, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, Thug Rose is the best. I just worry a little.
Even after the first fight?
Yeah.
Go on, explain yourself, Whiffin.
I think Weili's just fucking devastating. And I was watching some stuff in between the fights at the weekend, just gone. And they were showing some of her wins. She's a monster.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she throws... It is weird. There's certain fighters that you watch. Joanna was like it. Nunes is like it. And Weili's like it, that they throw shots that just look like big power shots, and they just look stacked and powerful. Rose doesn't. Rose doesn't have that kind of... I'm not saying she hasn't got that power, because we've seen that.
Well, we've seen when she knocked
Rose
out Joanna.
No joke.
And the way she knocked out Zhang in the last fight.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how this one's going to go. I just think Weili's obviously... I mean, do you think that should have been stopped?
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched
it, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, from my memory, I think that first fight was a good stoppage. It was an unbelievable shot from Rose.
Incredible.
That kick was incredible.
Mm.
Here's the thing. One of my big things is I'm not a big fan of champions getting immediate rematches when they haven't been a long reigning champion. If Usman loses to Covington, then I think he could be in for an immediate rematch, because he's defended the belt like 3 times or whatever it is. He's been champion for a few years now. That's someone that could get an immediate rematch. If Izzy loses the belt to Robert Whittaker next year, Izzy gets an immediate rematch. That makes perfect sense to me. But Jan Blachowicz should not get an immediate rematch against Glover Teixeira. He's only defended the belt once. And I don't think Zhang Weili deserves an immediate rematch against Rose after, I think, never defending the belt and being taken out in the manner which he did with that, you know, quite a brutal head kick. However, and just to also say, I think Carla Esparza probably deserved that fight more than Zhang Weili, because she's put together like a 5-fight win streak or something. She dominated Yan Jianan in her last fight. And there's a great storyline there. Esparza's got a win over Rose.
Yeah,
that's a great storyline for everyone. It's maybe not the most exciting fight, and we know the UFC is trying to open up the kind of Asian market and maybe rival one championship over there by having big stars from China represent the UFC, like Zhang and Jing Liang and people like that. But I'm disappointed that we didn't see Esparza versus Rose in this fight. However, now that we've got this fight, I have to say it is an incredibly exciting fight. And for one of the reasons that you pointed out, Zhang hits really hard. And before the first fight, because I don't think this, if Rose pulls off another first round KO by just seeing some kind of gap in Zhang's armor and pulls out a head kick or a punch or something, and not, that would be unbelievable. But I don't think that's going to happen again. I think Zhang's going to be a slightly different fighter. I don't think she's going to let the occasion get to her as much, because she said in interviews that like she was painted as the bad guy and she was getting booed walking down, and that was like a unique thing for her, and she didn't know how to deal with it and all that kind of stuff. She's also been training with Henry Cejudo, So that makes me think maybe she's going to implement a bit more grappling than what she did last time. But the one where my mind went before the first fight, and I think it makes sense to say it again now, is if you look at Rose's second fight with Jessica Andrade, that felt very telling for me. Because Rose pieced her up for two rounds, and then Jessica, who hit so hard for that weight class, was coming back really strong, and Rose looked like she was struggling. And if that was a five-round fight, I think by the end of that third round, Jessica would have been a favourite to win that fight, despite being 2-1 down. Because Rose looked like she was wilting, pun intended. And I feel like...
That's bad, man.
but I can see that with Zhang. Zhang is a much more technical striker than Rose. We saw that in her fight with Joanna. She was going toe-to-toe with Joanna, which is so hard to do from a technical point of view. And I think that with Zhang's power, she just has that X factor where, all right, I don't think she's technically as good as Rose. I think Rose, for the first two rounds, could put on a bit of a clinic here. But if Zhang just gets one or two big strikes in those rounds, and Rose just gets wobbled ever so slightly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a little bit, we might see the momentum shift in the latter rounds, and that's where Zhang could come on strong. And I think we will see possibly a fight that goes into the championship rounds and into a decision. I mean, which way it's going to go, I don't know, because I think Rose is the better striker. But I think Zhang is the more powerful striker, but still a technically good striker. And then if Zhang's training with Henry Cejudo, she might try and implement more grappling and use her strength. But Rose is great off her back with the grappling, with the jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. So I think it's a really fascinating fight. And actually, as much as I was disappointed because I felt like Esparza deserved it more, I think this is a far better fight than Esparza v. Rose. And I think this will be a far better fight than the first fight between Zhang and Rose. So I'm actually really excited about it. And it feels a bit like a coin flip to me. I would maybe lean towards Rose because she has got that first win. But this is a coin flip fight. And Zhang Weili is no joke. She hits hard. She's technically very good. And this could be a really exciting fight.
Yeah, I'd pretty much echo what you just said there, mate. I'm going to put my money on Rose. Yeah. I'm going to go with Rose, but yeah, Rose, third round.
Oh, you reckon a KO? See, I would, if gun to my head, I would say Rose by decision.
Hmm.
But you're going for a KO? I love it. Love it. Hmm. This is going to be a great, fight. But I've said this before. I think sometimes the UFC don't do enough of putting more female fights on their cards, but then equally, when you look at the female divisions, featherweight isn't really a division. It's just Nunes. Bantamweight is, you know, it's a division. It's got plenty of contenders, but none of them can hold a candle to Nunes. Let's see what happens in the Pena fight. Valentina Shevchenko's in the same position. She seems leagues above everyone else in that flyweight division. This is the one.
There's contenders.
You've got Marina Rodriguez coming through. Joanna needs to come back at some point. Zhang Esparza's put together a 5-fight win streak.
Yeah.
There are some phenomenal fighters. We saw Amanda Ribas do some great stuff the other night against Janderoba. This is the weight class. This is better than a lot of the male weight classes for me. I think this is fantastic. And we need to see more of that. So, and I just think it's really telling as well that the excitement level for this fight is up there with any other big fight on the card. And we're going to move on to another one of those big fights, I think, in a second. But I think it's just a brilliant thing that we're going to see hopefully another absolute classic in that women's strawweight division this weekend.
I hope so. It's got all the makings of it, mate. Oh, 155. Oh, woo. Gaethje versus Chandler.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
do you think I'd love to see this fight that people are more... If you had to survey 100 MMA fans and you said, what fight, because that's what you do regularly. If that's what you... What would you... If you said to them, what fight are you most excited about? Covington Usman 2, Rose Zhang, or Gaethje Chandler? Do you think this would come out on top? Or do you think
definitely.
One of them... Do you reckon it would?
Definitely.
Yeah. Gaethje Chandler's the one.
But it depends what Gaethje turns up. You know, we've seen in you know, some of the recent fights, Gaethje being a bit more measured and not just biting down on the gum shield and just, you know, just brawling, which he's, you know, which is what's made him such a fan favourite, you know. And he's, you know, we love him. And I don't know. I think we could see, you know, that measured Gaethje now. You know, this is, you know, you're fighting Michael Chandler here. That's a serious fight. Obviously, Chandler's has got a lot to prove in the UFC, and I think a win over Gaethje would really justify the hype and attention that he got coming into the division. I don't think Chandler's got it in him to beat Gaethje.
No. Here's where I think, you know, armchair expert Blake Harrison is going to break this down for you. I think the fight is determined between the kind of difference in the margins of skill sets, if that makes sense, between the two fighters. So you look at the wrestling, and I would say Chandler's obviously a fantastic, phenomenal wrestler. He's known for being a great offensive wrestler. Gaethje is actually a very, very good wrestler as well. He just never really uses it. But in the Khabib fight, everyone's talking about Gaethje's a really high-level wrestler, but he uses it defensively because he likes to strike. Now, it didn't work out against Khabib because Khabib is an absolute monster. But I think that similar thing can play. I think you look at the wrestling credentials and skills. Chandler's a better wrestler, but is he better enough than Gaethje to keep him down, pin him down for long periods of time? I don't know that he is. When you look at the striking, Gaethje, I think, is a far superior striker than Chandler. So if Gaethje stuffs one or two takedowns in that first round and keeps that fight standing, I think Chandler's going to be like, oh, shit, this is going to be a long night for me. The one thing I would say is one of Gaethje's best weapons is the low kicks. And I think we saw Dan Hooker throw a low kick against Makhachev the other night and he was on his ass quickly. Yeah. I think he's got to stay away from the low kicks, which is one of his best weapons, which is a shame. But I still think he should have enough to keep the fight standing, keep it a striking battle. And in the striking battle, there's only one winner in this fight, I think, and that's Gaethje. He's just the superior striker. And as you pointed out, he has improved so much emotionally as a fighter. Fights against Alvarez and Poirier, he was going in there as the highlight. He just wanted to take two to give a big one or two. And, you know, he was happy to go out on his shield. But then he changed things up. And you saw in that Tony Ferguson fight, he was, other than the uppercut he took in that second round, he was very composed. He was just touching him until he got that finish. Shout out to Trevor Whitman. This is a busy night for Trevor Whitman. He's going Gaethje, then he's going Rose, and then he's going Usman, all on the same night. This is a big night for Trevor Whitman. And let's see if that has any implications. Like, if Gaethje loses, does it affect the morale of the rest of the guys in the dressing room? Does it affect Whitman? Does it, you know, any of this stuff? How do they get through that emotionally? But if he wins three fights on the bounce, that are three huge fights, two title fights, and one arguably number one contender fight in Gaethje and Chandler,
Definitely.
God, that's some night for Trevor Whitman. But yeah.
I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Chandler's hands, though. Like, I do think, you know, he's got legit knockout power.
He does have knockout power, but is he technically good enough to land it against a superior striker in Gaethje? That's what we'll find out. And also, Gaethje can take a fucking hit as well. He's not, you know, he's not Dan Hooker. Well, actually, that's wrong with say. Dan Hooker takes a huge punch as well, but Dan Hooker obviously got laid out with one strike from Chandler. I don't think that happens with Gaethje.
Yeah.
And
someone seems to be falling out of love with Dan Hooker.
No, don't do that. Don't break my heart like that. I love you, Dan. I love you. Jingles on its way. Jingles on its way. I think that's it. I think we're going to see a KO or TKO victory for Gaethje. That's where I would go. I don't know what round. I don't know how quickly, but I think he has improved a lot since those kind of Alvarez and Poirier losses. And I think Gaethje wins. And if he does win, I think that's him next in line for a title shot. A Gaethje win means he fights the winner, in my opinion, of Poirier Oliveira, which takes place, I think, on December 11th.
And where does that leave Chandler?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if Chandler wins, we discussed this the other day, if Chandler and Oliveira both win, I don't think they rebooked that fight, so Chandler's going to have to do another one or two fights. Maybe Benil Dariush, maybe Poirier, if Poirier loses, something like that. He'll have to get another win before he gets a title shot, I think. If Poirier wins and Chandler wins, then it's a conversation. Then it might happen. Can he talk enough on the mic to keep ahead of Makhachev? Maybe. Maybe he's in for a shot there. But if Chandler loses, then I don't know. Maybe he fights Makhachev. He's always said he wanted to fight Khabib and stuff. Makhachev's the next best thing. I mean, that would be a phenomenal fight, seeing those two go together. To be honest, that would be... If Chandler loses, throw him in with Makhachev at some point. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
What do you want to move
on to? What other fights? Yeah, I'm just looking.
So there's Edgar Marlon Vera, which I'm like, I'm not overly bothered about. I feel a bit sorry for Frankie Edgar. I kind of feel like I wanted to see him fight Dominic Cruz. I think he's been knocked out by Sandhagen recently. He doesn't have, like, I don't think his recent record has like great reading in terms of like the amount of damage that Frankie Edgar's taken of late. He looked like KO'd by Ortega. All right, he beat Cub Swanson, but then he's had a 5-round fight against Holloway. That never leaves you feeling good. A TKO loss to Korean Zombie in the first round. Then he won a fight by split decision against Munoz, which I actually remember thinking that Munoz beat him. So I think he lost that fight, but somehow got the judge's decision. And then there's Sandhagen's flying knee. I mean,
yeah, that's going to take a little bit of recovering.
Yeah, it worries me, really worries me in terms of like his long-term health and how he's doing with that. Because, I mean, he's 40 now, I think, Frankie Edgar. So I think, you know, not everyone can do a Glover Teixeira. And I think it's maybe better that he just fights in, you know, a legend or two before possibly hanging him up. I mean, Marlon Vera, I don't think no one's going to be like, wow, Frankie beat Marlon Vera. Let's, you know, let's give him a number one contender fight at bantamweight. Frankie's back.
And I mean, Frankie must just want to fight.
Yeah,
because they're, as you say, you know, there's nothing really to gain by a win here. You know, I don't think Vera's ranked above Frankie.
No, I don't think he is.
I'm not too sure, other than Frankie just wanting to be active and wanting to keep fighting, what the benefits of this fight are. I don't know. Like you say, I'd rather see some kind of legends insofar as, you know, maybe him and Cruz. You know, would love to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's always great to watch Frankie Edgar fight, and and you know, I hope that, you know, I'd like to see him get a win, because yeah, that Sandhagen loss was quite unpleasant.
It was, yeah. I would say that I don't think Marlon Vera has beaten anyone of Frankie Edgar's level, and I don't think Frankie has lost to anyone of Marlon Vera's level. If that makes sense. So I think this is Marlon's toughest fight. And I think that if Frankie's been beaten by top guys, he's been beaten by Holloway, Korean Zombie, Ortega, Sandhagen. Like, these are top, top, top guys. Mm. And a lot of which in the division above where he is now. So he's not lost to anyone as low down the pecking order as a Marlon Vera. So he still could be a very competitive fight. But if he loses this, I really am concerned about him.
And you do wonder, like, just going through Vera's. Yeah, so it was Vera, wasn't it, that ended Brad's career at the O2, wasn't it? I'm sure.
Yes, yeah, it was.
It was. And I know when I spoke to Brad, I think, on a different podcast, he said, you know...
All right, he'd been, other podcasts. He'd, all right, fair enough. I see what you're doing there.
He said, like, when he got... The first time he got knocked out, I can't remember who it was by... He said it just changed his whole fight style. You know, all of a sudden, as he was getting older, he started to sort of not have that confidence that you mentioned with that Gaethje of, like, throw two, you know, to get one off. And obviously, you know, that's not necessarily Frankie's style. But, you know, when you have had such brutal finishes like that Sandhagen one, that's got to... You know, find its way into your fight IQ and your approach to fighting. You're going to be aware that, you know, boom, the lights can go out as quick as that. And so, yeah, I wonder what Frankie's mindset's going to be in there. Maybe he wanted this fight with Vera because he thinks this could be a win for him, and it could kind of get him, you know, back to where he wants to be, you know, in his head. I don't know. But yeah, Frankie Edgar always puts on a good scrap. So yeah, let's hope it's a good one. What do you want to discuss next? Because I'm quite keen. I think that what has the makings of a good fight is Aoi Quinta versus Bobby Green.
I think that is a sleeper fight of the night. I mean, we've got some incredible. I think Gaethje Chandler, Usman Covington, Rose Zhang, they're the higher profile fights. And because they could be very competitive fights, one of them will probably get that fight of the night award. However... Yeah. What you've just said is exactly right. That is a sleeper for fight of the night.
Mm.
Aoi Quinta, Bobby Green could be amazing. Al always brings it. I don't think he's fought for about 2 years, though, Aoi Quinta. He's doing his real estate stuff out in like New York somewhere. But Bobby Green as well. You look at that Bobby Green fight with Fiziev that we had recently. That was a cracking fight. And Fiziev won the first two rounds. But Bobby Green came on strong in that third round. And it was another one where you go, oh man, he had a bit left in the tank. If he'd have pushed things a bit sooner, that result could have been different, because Bobby Green won that third round quite convincingly from what I remember. This is just a really, really great fight between two people that you know are just going to give everything in there. And I think it'll be a really good stand-up fight as well.
He's not fought since 2019 when he lost to Hooker. Before that, he lost to Cerrone. And before that, he had a win over Kevin Lee. Since then, he lost a grappling bat in Submission Underground against Mike Perry.
Well, there you go.
So that's what he was doing in 2020, rolling around the floor with with Mike Perry. I mean, he's never ducked a good fight. Aoi Quinta obviously stepped in. He did step in last minute, didn't he, against Khabib?
Yeah.
If I remember rightly.
Khabib was like, this is real gangster. Real New York gangster.
Not so good as your New York accent, that one, mate.
How dare you? I think...
wins over Masvidal, wins over Diego Sanchez, Joe Lozon, Ross Pearson. Like, he's a beast, mate.
Yeah.
Whenever he fights... In between rounds, get that camera in his corner and get that mic turned on, because I want to hear Sarah. Like, you know, it's going to be good. That's New York, mate. There's your accent.
Yes,
that
is it. Ray Longo's the other one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah,
so good.
So that'll be really good fun. I mean, he's fighting in his hometown as well, in Madison Square Garden. I think that'll be, if that's on the prelims. Or if it's opening the main card, tune in for that one. That should be a great fight to either start the main card or wrap up the prelims.
That's on the prelims.
It is. That's on the prelims.
It's not wrapping up the prelims either. There is a fight above that, which I'm not up to speed to.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Too much about, which is, oh, I ain't even going to attempt to pronounce that, Alex Pereira versus Andreas Michalidis.
Well, the Alex Pereira thing, I've not really got any notes on this fight at all, but I think Alex Pereira, if this is the middleweight guy, I think
he is
like a really accomplished kickboxer. He's won multiple like world titles, I think, and he's got a win as a kickboxer over Israel Adesanya. So... that could be one to watch, just to go, oh, could this guy shoot his way up the middleweight rankings quickly and get a match against Adesanya? It could be very, very interesting. The thing we should talk about, the thing we need to talk about, someone who could be the star of the show at the end of it, Ian the Future Gary, former guest of our show, makes his UFC debut in Madison Square Garden. Absolutely mental.
Is that big enough for Ian, Gary?
Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, that's absolutely mental, isn't it? Yeah, so pleased for him. What a
He's made for arenas like that, mate.
Absolutely. And the people there will have no idea what's hit them. They like, if the Irish fans in New York are out in force, I hope they're really there for Ian Gary. I think the UFC are aware that they've got a potential star on their hands. I think it's going to be so interesting to see if anything's changed with Ian in terms of, like, he's now in Florida. He's working under Henry Hooft at Sanford MMA. He's working probably with beasts on a daily basis, like your Vicente Luques and Gilbert Burns and people like that, Derek Brunsons of the world. So this could be really amazing thing for Ian Gary in terms of his development, and it'd be really interesting to see. I think the UFC have matched him up with an eye to pushing him not quickly, but giving him the right kind of treatment going forward. Jordan Williams is on a 2-fight losing streak. The one thing I suppose I just also point out as well, Jordan Williams had 3 cracks at the Contender Series before making it into the UFC. He has a 9-5 record. He is the type of guy, if Ian Gary is the future, he should be dispatching Jordan Williams with relative ease, I think. The only thing you've got to say about Jordan Williams and the position he's in, he's on a 2-fight losing streak. He's probably only got 1 fight left on his contract.
Yeah,
he's fighting for his UFC survival here. And we've seen people like Molly McCann and Jai Herbert of late on 2-fight losing streaks staring down the barrel of being cut from the UFC, and they pull out incredible performances. So he needs to be sharp. He needs to be careful. Jordan Williams is probably going to go into this going, I've got nothing to lose, balls to the wall, and just go for it. So he's going to have to be careful, but he will be by far, I would imagine, the betting favourite in this fight, and rightfully so. So good luck to Ian Gary. Hope he does the business.
Oh, you know what? You know, when we, it's so nice that obviously we had such a, if people have never listened to our episode with Ian Gary, I know it's one of your personal faves.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
It's such a cracker.
He's Grease Lightning in the middle of the interview. Like, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's, you know, we then got to go and see him take the Cage Warriors title. And then, you know, the future's bright for the future. And yeah, he's a legit beast, 7-0. And I think Madison Square Garden for your UFC debut, I think we're going to hopefully see another entrance into the UFC that we saw when Paddy made that debut. And I hope we do. I hope we see something very similar to what Paddy does. We see Ian Gary get a spectacular finish and then get on that mic and just, yeah, introduce himself to the world because, yeah, I think he's got plenty to say and so far he's backed it all up and couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So good luck to Ian Gary. There are a couple of other interesting potential small things to mention about this card. I don't know if you've got anything more you wanted to say, but Shane Burgos is taking on Billy Quarantillo. Uh-huh. And we saw Shane Burgos in his last fight have that really kind of like concerning knockout loss where Edson Barboza caught him with a big shot. Mm. And he had that moment where he was kind of stood in front of him for like what
so
seemed like
weird.
A couple of seconds. And then he just slowly sort of collapsed backwards. So it'd be interesting to see if Shane Burgos comes back on good form. I hope he's healthy and I hope he's okay. Because I don't think it was that long ago, was it? It doesn't feel like that long ago, that fight. So
no,
I hope he's had enough time to recover.
Probably the weirdest knockout I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a strange one. So, yeah, I'm hoping that everything's okay. Oh, he's obviously been medically cleared to fight, but that was such a concerning knockout that you're like, God, mate, I hope you're all right. So best of luck, Shane Burgos. I hope he does all right. And I hope he's nice and healthy. And Billy Quarantillo is a fun fighter as well. I've seen him fight a few times. He's a good game fighter. So we could be in for a good scrap there. And then the other one that I wanted to briefly mention is Edmon Shahbazyan against Nassourdine Imavov. I'd be lying if I said I knew a lot about Imavov, but I think this is a really interesting one for Shahbazyan. This is like a crossroads fight for him. You know, people were really excited about him as a young prospect. He's still only, I think, 23 or 24 years old. So he's really, really young. He was pushed up the middleweight rankings really, really quickly at a very young age. He's fallen short against people like Jack Hermanson and Derek Brunson. No shame in that. Both of them are fantastic, good grapplers. And we've seen...
Is it three losses in your app?
I don't think so, because he's so young. He's so young and he's so promising. And also, other than the losses he's had to Hermanson and Brunson, and again, they're not like, he's not losing to unranked fighters. He's losing to guys that are in like, Brunson's now like fighting Jared Cannonier to be the number one contender.
Yeah.
And Hermanson was probably about a top five or seven guy when he fought
definitely.
Him. So no shame in those losses at
and
all.
And he was 10-0 when he stepped in against Brunson. No, was he? 10-0?
He might have been. He might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, so there you go. So I mean, that's the thing. Before he fought those guys, he was undefeated, and he has loads of first-round finishes as well. You know Dana White and the UFC love that. If you come in there and get first-round knockouts and first-round submissions, you get the attention of the big guys at UFC, and that's why he was pushed up the rankings so quick, because people thought, Jesus, this guy's a beast. He's knocking people out in the first round. And now he's just fought guys that have got that. Clearly his grappling needs work. But again, he's only like 24 years old. That will come. He needs time. And Nassourdine Imavov, again, I don't know a huge amount about him, but let's see what he can do against him. And let's see if he's improved his grappling. Let's see if he can get back in the win column. But I think there's no harm in taking a guy like Shahbazyan and giving them more of the Sean O'Malley treatment and going, look, you're only 23, 24 years old. I know it's the UFC and I know the best are fighting the best, and that's what we love about the sport. But sometimes when you get these guys that are so young, there's no harm in giving them one or two extra fights where you go, look, you're expected to win this one. Just build up yourself a bit, you know. And then when you hit your kind of later 20s, we can throw you in with the Wolves. but this was clearly a step too far to fight Brunson, and then Hermansson was clearly a step too far for him. He's super young, but really talented and could be a really, really good guy, and still has probably got a very bright future in MMA. He just needs to sort that grappling out a little bit more. So this is a really interesting kind of crossroads fight. Keep your eyes on this one just to see, I don't know, where does Shabazian's career goes? Because if he does lose this fight, then he probably will be fighting completely unknown, unranked guys. And if he then loses that one, then maybe he will be looking at going to Bellator or PFL or somewhere like that. And he might have to work his way back to the UFC through another organization if he wants to.
Well, it's a stacked card. I feel like we're being spoiled at the moment by the UFC, and I'm super hyped for it.
And the week after is Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez. Oh, I don't know the other fights on that card, but that does enough for me.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Where are you watching it? Is that going to be an early doors? Are you going to get up for it, or are you going to have a little early Sunday morning watch?
Well, it depends what time it is, because it's my last night doing the play on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be that's going to be like a trick, because we're all going to want to go out and grab drinks and do all that stuff last night, you know. And that's the weird thing with my job, is you develop these really strong bonds with the people you're working with, and then you don't see them again. It's such a weird, it is a weird job, the acting thing, whether you're on TV or stage or whatever it is. You become really, really good mates with these people over the course of a couple of months, 3 months, whatever it is. And then you just don't really see them unless you work together again. It's a very strange thing with our industry. So you want to go out and have a big night and have some drinks and enjoy yourself. But we've actually got tickets to take the kids to see Frozen 2 on... No, not Frozen 2. Frozen, the musical, on Sunday. So we'll be doing that. So I don't know when I'm going to get it in. I don't know if it's going to be a case of like getting home late and throwing it straight on, or if it will have started by the time I'm out. And I'll have to record it and try and watch it, but I won't necessarily be able to watch it before going to the theatre to take the kids to see Frozen. So I don't know when I'm going to get to watch it. So I'm going to have to try and stay off social media if I don't get to watch it until like Sunday evening or something like that.
Cool. You don't want to go for the have a few drinks and then go home and try and see it through till the early hours. You'll be falling asleep at Frozen, mate.
It's more for the kids though, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't know it from the ticket prices, I can tell you, but...
Right, we are out of here. If this is your first time listening, I always like to get this little shout out in at the end. Normally we have guests on, sometimes obviously it's just Blake and I doing some sort of pre and post stuff. A lot of the pre and post fight stuff we do generally pull in Scroobius Pip and Brian Lacey, who are our kind of what do we refer to them to? Teammates, what would you call them?
I don't know. Lads that come around for a chat every now and again.
Oh, yes, just do that. Yeah. I kind of want a bit more of a... You want something that's got a bit more kind of punch to it.
All right, we'll have a think about it. Comrades, I don't know. Going very kind of Russian. Are we not?
But yeah, when we haven't got those lads on, Blake and I just steam into it ourselves. However, what we do like to do is chat to fighters and referees and people you might recognise from the telly or from the world of music. So we do some Fight or Flight episodes, so you can go and check them out. We've done them with James Arthur, Lee Mack, Thomas Turgoose, who else have
Laura Checkley, Emily Head from the Inbetweeners. Obviously we had a really interesting interview with Stephen Dorff about MMA and about his movie Embattled at the time. And obviously there's the great interviews that we've had with all those great fighters like Urien Garry's, like Lerone Murphy, like Paddy Pimblett, Molly McCann, Paul Craig, Tyron Woodley, Kenny Florian, Arnold Allen. God, there's so many to pick. Alexander Volkanovsky. How can we forget the chirp? the chirp. Just so many great interviews with really great fighters. And again, a lot of them are not time sensitive. If you go back and listen to some of the early interviews, did like Brad Pickett was one of them. It's one of the first interviews we did with a fighter. And it's all about their careers and what motivates them. And I think as listeners, you can go back and listen to any of these interviews from whether they're a few months old or last week's episode or whatever it is, like Dan Hardy interview and stuff like that, where, brilliant. You know, just pick a name that you like and you can hear all about their training, how they dealt with weight cuts, how they deal with, you know, the negative impacts of things in life, like social media or just coming up against adversity in life. And hopefully you can take some inspiration from that. We had really in-depth chat with Paddy Pimblett about mental health and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's a hell of a lot to be found from these, not just from a kind of MMA fan fighter perspective, but just also as like kind of inspirational stories from people to help you kind of hopefully be inspired a bit with your day and get over some negativity. If you've got any of that in your life, it's hopefully some nice stuff that we're able to do with these fighters.
If you want to hear some really inspirational, crazy madness, JJ Wilson's a good one to go and listen to as well. Oh my God,
I didn't forget JJ. Jesus, that was an amazing... I mean, God, like, was involved in an armed robbery, got shot, took the armed robber down. The guy can hold his breath for 4 minutes underwater because he deep-sea dives, fucking Aquaman. And there was something else in there as well. It's just like, I don't know. And he, at the time of... I think he's still undefeated in MMA.
Yeah,
I think he had a weight miss recently and he might have to move up a weight class, which is a shame because he was looking like he was one of the number one guys in Bellator, like probably not far off fighting AJ McKee for the belt. And he had a weight miss, which is a real shame. But so he might be moving up to 155. But a fantastic interview, that one. That was a cracker. So, yeah, check all that stuff out.
Absolutely. We're on all the social media platforms. What ones are we on? And, Blake, can you do that in a New York accent, please?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot now. New York. All right. So, guys, we're on the socials. We're on, I don't know if I'm going slightly Boston here, but I think I've gone Boston. I've totally gone Boston now. I'm like Ted the kid, or Peter Griffin. So I can't stick with it. I need time. You can't just put me on the spot. All right?
That was great.
I need time. He's gone from New York to Boston in like 2 seconds. But yeah, we're on Twitter.
Back to Instagram, London.
And we're on the YouTubes.
We are. We are. Go and watch, if you've not heard this before, we always like to say, go and watch our interview with Tyron Woodley, because he's driving his car with no shirt off in space.
No shirt
and
off?
If that sounds weird.
No shirt on?
No shirt on? Did I say with his shirt off?
He said,
sorry.
With no shirt off, someone's wearing a shirt.
Yep, just standard guy, just wearing a shirt. Go watch it. You've never seen anyone wear a shirt before in an interview. He's gone skins, and he's driving a car in space, and that's not an exaggeration. Go check that. If you just search the MMA Fan Podcast on YouTube, you will be able to find it. Blake Harrison, I'm out of here.
All right, mate.
Bye.
Bye.